Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 62. I am Jeff. Jeff? What am I? I'm Jeff. Joined, as always, by Chris.
That's me.
It's been a little while since our last episode, and some big movies have come out.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest movie ever made, Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens. We both saw it.
We did. It's the what's it, the top movie ever in the United States at this point?
Yeah, it's pretty much getting all the records. So, I don't know. What'd you think, Chris?
It's good.
I would agree.
Yeah, if anybody, you know, follows me on Facebook or follows my blog or anything, like they saw that I, it was my favorite movie from last year, so.
Yeah, spoilers, it's mine as well. It was better than I expected it was going to be. I was just hoping for it to be good, and if I'm being honest, I think it's probably the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I probably need more time to digest it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had 30 years to, well, almost 40 years to mull over the original trilogy, so I don't know if I'm ready to put it there yet, but it is a marked improvement over the prequels.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure most people would agree with that. Coming off of just having seen the original trilogy, those are great movies, and you know, there's a reason that we remember them so fondly from when we were kids. But I feel like this one just had better pacing. I think there feels like there's more stakes in it. It's a little more violent. I don't know. I like the characters more. I find that this new group of characters, they come off as more instantly likable than Luke was in the original Star Wars.
So, sure. I could see that. Like, Luke comes off a little bit whiny, unsure of himself, whereas like all three of the new characters are very, well, maybe not Finn, but even he kind of like is going out of his way to make a change for himself, where Luke is just like, no, I can't go with you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could never take back what the original Star Wars did for its time. Right. Like, that's always going to be the greatest thing about it. But like, I feel like it's kind of a little bit of a retelling of that original one in a way, even though it is a pure sequel. And it benefits from, you know, modern movie making. It just has a better pace and like a better flow to it, I think. And then it also has these characters that you did grow up with that you haven't seen in, what, 30 years or whatever.
Right.
You get to see them again. So it's got like nostalgia, but it's also pushing, I think, the franchise forward in a really positive way. So yeah, I really liked it. I think that the new characters are great. I like the new villain quite a bit. Without getting to spoilers, I love the look of him and the way his voice sounds. I think it's even cooler than Darth Vader's voice.
There's something to it, that's for sure. I don't know if he's as menacing.
I don't think he's supposed to. Like, well,
yeah, I don't think he's supposed to be. You're right. Like,
at the beginning, he kind of is.
Yes, but like as you look, like he is a deeper character than Darth Vader is in the first film. Also,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Actually, he's probably deeper than Vader is in the first two movies.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at first he is quite menacing, but as the movie goes on, he's kind of revealed a bit more, and you kind of find out he's kind of a Vader wannabe.
Yeah, very much so.
Which is cool, and it's kind of, you know, started a whole bunch of shit on, like, memes on the internet, and there's
Kyle Ren Twitter accounts. Yes, that is the best.
It is pretty great. I don't really want to get into spoilers this episode, mostly for time, so. And if there are people that still haven't seen it, it has only been out a couple of weeks, but
yeah, and I mean, I think if you haven't seen it yet, and there are people that haven't seen it yet, so We don't want to ruin any of that for you because it is something quite special.
Yeah, it's I think it's one of the most entertaining. Well, I'm putting it at the top of my list, so I think it's the most entertaining film of last year.
Yeah.
It was quite the event. Like, it lived up to the event that we all, we're kind of hoping for in our heads, I think. I mean, I couldn't have walked away happier with that movie. Like,
Yeah, I left that theater after like a really long day. I just just bought a house. I'd
oh
been
yeah.
moving stuff into that house up until like 9 o'clock, and then I went to the movies at 11. And yeah, it was just like pure joy.
Yeah.
And then I went to go see it like again, which I don't do with a lot of movies. Like going to see a movie multiple times in the theaters just doesn't happen anymore. There aren't enough movies that make me want to go do that.
Yeah, I saw it twice as well. I saw it the opening Thursday night with my buddy on a whim, because I didn't realize that there was like a 7 o'clock show. So I like saw that and we like ran off to the theater with like 20 minutes to spare.
That's
And
nice that you were able to get in, 'cause
yeah, it was
like,
packed. But they had it on like three or four screens at the same time. They just like gave us our tickets. They're like, yeah, pick any screen you want. I was like, okay.
yeah, well, it was crazy. So I went that opening night as well. I went to an 11 o'clock show though, and it had taken over like 10 of the 14 screens in that theater. It was nuts. They had it everywhere.
Yeah, and then I went and saw it again, I think on the Monday following, and it was still pretty crowded for like a Monday afternoon, but definitely there was like you did not have to sit next to people type
Right,
thing.
right.
I guess one other thing I'll touch on is there are people that are not 100% in love with it. And I don't know, in my opinion, I think they're most of the criticisms are kind of silly, really. I mean,
I mean, I think it's fine if you don't like it. Like, that's perfectly valid. Like, hey, I don't like Star Wars. I don't like this movie. That's fine. Like, I don't think you have to, but I do think some of the people that are actively trying to come out and criticize it are they're stretching a bit.
it's a little, I mean, kind of stealing from another podcast, We Hate Movies. They kind of ripped on people that didn't like it. All these people were complaining about the prequels, how they weren't enough like the original trilogy, and then they give you what you want, and these people are like, "How dare you give us what we asked for?" Like, you're supposed to do something different. Like, no, you're not. You just wanted to recapture the magic, I think, that what made those films special and modernize it a little bit.
Well, what's kind of crazy is these are the same, like, a lot of these people that are complaining about this are the same people that, like, after the prequels were like, if they ever do this again, they need to go back and, like, they need to really look at the original ones and recapture the magic there,
Yeah.
and that's what this did.
And it gave people what they were asking for, and then all of a sudden it's like the new fashionable thing to be like, well, at least the prequels tried something different. It's like, yeah, and they were not good. They were pretty damn flawed movies. I really like, there were a couple nitpicks I had coming out of it, but as time has gone on, I'm like, it pretty much was a blast. So whatever little nitpicks I had,
Yeah, I mean,
big
anything
deal.
you could, poke holes in anything. It's just like, is it fun? Yes,
Yeah.
it's a lot of fun.
It's fun, it's funny, it's got good characters, it has, I think, better action than, like, there's like blood in this one, like, which they never did before. Like, you
Yeah.
people get limbs and stuff chopped off, but it'd be like a cauterized like wound right away, kind of,
Right.
I don't know. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about it, and I feel really confident going forward that it's gonna maintain that level of, quality.
I do hope they kind of go a little more unexpected places with the two following ones, but to bring in the series back and as like a first stab at this, J.J. Abrams did a really good job. So I don't know. For me, it's a solid 5 out of 5. I'm guessing for you as
Yeah,
well.
same for me.
Yeah. Well, we'll have a deeper discussion about it, I think, in the coming weeks at some point.
Yeah, at some point we'll get some people together and we'll sit down and go in depth on it, but said January is a light month for movies anyway.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
I do want to see The Revenant, but
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of wanted to see it now. I'm like, I don't know. But I want to see it eventually. I don't know if it's a theater one for me. But there was another big movie that came out sort of like I think the week following after that.
oh, kind of, yeah.
The latest Tarantino film.
Yep.
It's called Hateful Eight. It's about a bounty hunter who's trying to deliver a bounty to a town. He runs into another bounty hunter who has some dead bodies with him, also trying to go to the same town, but they end up getting stuck in a cat in a what is it? What do they call it? I forgot.
Haberdashery.
Yeah, they get stuck in a cabin during a blizzard with a whole bunch of other rotten people. Yeah, this is Tarantino's eighth film, The Hateful Eight. What did you think about it?
I liked it. So I also to speak on it, I saw it in the 70mm Roadshow
Yeah,
production,
I'm
which
jealous.
isn't necessarily different than the one you saw, which was probably digital.
Yeah.
But it does have a really cool intermission
Yeah.
about an hour and 45 minutes in, so.
Yeah, it's I had read going in, I'd read some reviews saying, "Oh, there's an intermission in it." And I was like, "I don't like going to see 3 hour movies in the theater really anymore because
It's a long time to sit there.
it ends up being 4 hours with all the commercials and shit."
Yeah, so that was the other thing with this production is there are no trailers in front of it.
Oh, in your version, huh?
Yeah, zero trailers. There is like a 5-minute overture,
Okay.
which basically is like, hey, the show's about to start, you should sit down.
Oh, that's cool.
So it is like going to the theater, like
Cool.
an actual live production
Yeah.
theater.
But when I had read about that intermission, I was excited because for me, it's a long time to sit there, and I smoke, so it's like, usually about 2 hours into the movie, I'm like, God damn it, I want a cigarette, but I don't want to walk out and miss anything.
Right.
So I was really looking forward to that intermission, and the film reaches a point where it's super obvious where the intermission is coming, and then it's super obvious after where the intermission happens because they like tell you last time we talked, this is
Okay,
what was
yeah.
that, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, in between chapters 3 and 4.
So when I got to that part in my regular non-roadshow version of this, and I'm like, oh, that's where the intermission was, and I just got screwed. So I was like, that pissed me off, but that's nothing against the movie.
But yeah, so I saw it as well, and I liked it.
Yes.
It's a Western. Just probably throw that out there.
The
I am
second.
not like the biggest fan of Westerns. I think we've had that discussion before. So,
Yeah.
but it's a Western. I liked it. I don't love it, but I did come out of there going, I was worth seeing.
I tend to always really like Tarantino films. I didn't like Inglourious Basterds, and I can't say I'm a huge fan of Death Proof, but other than that, like I pretty much love everything else. This falls somewhere in between the ones I really love, like Kill Bill Volume 1 and Django, and the ones I didn't like. But even for me, anyways, even if it's not quite the peak of his career, there's something that's just fun about watching like people chew on his dialogue and just these scenes that could go on forever where people are talking and telling stories to each other that are just, I think, really fun to watch.
There are definitely some sequences in there that are fantastic because of that.
Yeah, and a lot of this is these guys either sitting in a cabin or sitting in a stagecoach talking to each other, revealing more about themselves. And it kind of reminded me of that super long dinner sequence from Django, but stretched out into a whole movie. It really is almost like a play, like just people sitting around talking to each other.
You could very much do it like that, like the
Yeah.
first two chapters are basically in a stagecoach or outside of a stagecoach. Then the next two chapters are, well, next three chapters are inside the, haberdashery, and
Yeah.
And then there's like kind of a flashback scene, and then it wraps up, but
I do think that the film is a little bit slow for the first 2 hours.
takes a long time to get where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, there are parts in there that are really interesting where you find out the backstories of the characters through just them talking to each other. And but then I think after the intermission, it picks up quite a bit, and it's pretty violent from there to the end.
Yeah. It's, there's a lot of blood.
It's a really, really violent film, and a lot of violence against the one woman in the film, played by Jennifer Jason Leigh. She's a gangster who is Kurt Russell's bounty in it, and he just beats the hell out of her through the whole damn movie. Like, she just gets beat up by everybody. I heard a lot of people talking about the N-word, and dear God, does the movie use that a lot in it. But
I mean, and there was a lot of criticism about that with Django,
yeah.
but knowing, how Tarantino makes movies and how he kind of like looks at the errors that he is dealing in, it makes sense being as who Samuel L. Jackson is in that movie, like, and who he's dealing
Yeah.
with. It's not to justify ever using that word, but it makes sense, and Samuel L. Jackson isn't belittled because it's being used. Like,
Definitely not. Yeah.
he's very strong against it, like himself. Like, he's
Yeah.
able to hold his own.
I do think that the film has some stuff to say about race in it.
Yeah.
That's what I think that, like, the people that criticize it are kind of missing. Like, this movie is largely about race. There's a big part about how it's a tough world for him to be in because of who he is and the things he has to do to get by in the world, you know?
Right.
And I think, Django also was a commentary on that. Now, I do think that in all of his movies, he uses the N-word a lot, but I just feel like even in, like, Pulp Fiction and stuff like that, it just makes sense for the characters that they would say those words.
Yeah, I don't think it ever felt out of place, like.
I mean, it is, this is by far, I think it's used by far the most in this movie. But I think there's a reason for it. I mean, that's part of what the main plot is. But yeah, and then but I don't see a lot of people talking about the violence against Jennifer Jason Leigh, because dear God. And it,
It's not even just like we're gonna, be violent towards, this, was it like Debbie or whatever her name was in the movie, Donahue. It was like D something Donahue. But it's not even that it's they're being violent towards her. It's that it's often used to comedic effect.
yeah, well, that's the thing, is like I was like, am I a terrible person? Because I was, every time they fucking hit her or like some of the shit he said to her, I just started dying laughing. I'm like, I really am a shitbag, aren't
I don't think so. Like, I think it
I
was
think it's
actually
so,
designed to be comedic, though.
yeah, it is so cartoonish. Like, when they, like, dude, he'll just elbow her to the face, and then all of a sudden she's bleeding, and all of a sudden she's missing teeth.
Right, and she doesn't back down either, so I think that kind of gives it, like,
She's a
not,
bad guy
yeah.
too. I mean, that's
Like,
it.
she's a criminal, she's being brought in. I think that the funniest instance of that, though, is it's like chapter two, they're in the stagecoach. Kurt Russell's character asks Samuel Jackson's character to see his letter. Like, he has
Yeah.
this letter from Abraham
Oh, yeah.
Lincoln, and he's reading it, and he kind of reads it out loud, and he turns to his captive there, and he's like, "I think a real letter from Abraham Lincoln," and she spits on it, and Samuel Jackson just like punches her in the face, and she goes out the door of the stagecoach.
And she's chained to Kurt Russell,
Yeah,
so he
so
has to
he goes
drag
out
out.
too and lands on her. It's like, it was so funny. It's like,
Dude, the funniest part of the whole movie was before that for me, when she starts talking, saying something, and he fucking pistol whips her in the head. He goes, "How do you like them bells, bitch?" Like, I don't know why. I thought that was, it's just a funny line. Yeah, I think that, like I said, it's not one of his best, but I do think there's some growth in his writing here. I do think that the characters are really interesting, and it's a great ensemble cast. It's probably the best ensemble I've seen all last year.
Yeah, he puts together a fantastic cast.
And by the time all said and done, I felt that like it's not the payoff that you get in Django, where it's just like an awesome action sequence like you get at Django, where like he's just going through the house, blowing everyone away. But once it gets going, man, you're getting some cool reveals and some cool, crazy violence. And I think it has a cool ending. Another thing I think is weird to me is once some of the reveals happen, there wasn't a lot of build up to them, because a lot of the first 2 hours you're spending with them in this cabin, you don't really know what's going on. I mean, there's things that you find suspicious, like where are the owners of this cabin, but you
Right.
don't really
Like
know what the
Senor
situation.
Bob.
Yeah, you don't really know what the situation is, though. You just know it's a bunch of people in a cabin that don't really trust each other. It's not like there's like a murder early on and it's a whodunit all the way. It's like really for the first 2 hours, you're like, I'm not sure where this is going, and then once you find out where it's going, I think it's a cool reveal, but then it's just like them killing each other for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it goes from like, what's going on here to, oh my God, like
Yeah.
everyone's dead, like very
Yeah.
quickly.
So yeah, I'd probably go 4 out of 5 on it, and it's gonna be in my top 10 for sure. But it's just like Django, the year it came out, that was my movie of the year when it came out. It's not quite up to that standard, I don't think.
I think I'd agree with you on 4 or 5. It won't. Like I had already kind of made my list prior
It's not gonna
to
kick
saying
anything
it's
off of it.
not gonna kick anything off of my list. Like I enjoyed it. I enjoy like Tarantino's work for a variety of reasons. Like I think he has a huge love for film that he's just able to really express in his filmmaking. Like, and he's able to go from genre to genre and still have it feel like a Tarantino movie, but you know, where he plays in different things. But yeah, I wasn't like, yeah, I love this. And some of it's, I'm not a huge fan of Westerns, but I'm glad I saw it. Like, even if it was 3 hours of a Western, like,
I'm
still a lot.
slowly over the years getting into Westerns, but it's more current Westerns. Like I can't go back and watch like an old one from like the
Yeah, like a John Wayne one from the
yeah.
1960s or whatever.
Like I'm really interested to see this one called Bone Tomahawk, which I think Kurt Russell's also in.
Yes, I heard that too. It's like a horror western though, so.
Yeah, from what I heard it's like 80% Western, and then
And then
horror
some horror
element.
stuff. Yeah, I heard it's really good, but
Yeah.
and I'll probably watch it. I mean, I don't like westerns, but I'll watch them.
I don't think you need to like Westerns like this. I do think that you need to like Tarantino movies too. I think if you're not a Tarantino fan, you're not going to be won over by this one. I would say give Django a shot.
Yeah, I mean that's for, like I mean it's like you. I think I have it in the middle of like my Tarantino movies. Like it's above Death Proof and Inglourious Basterds and probably Jackie Brown for me. But
Yeah, I think it hovers right around Jackie Brown for me. I think maybe it goes a little bit above it. I think he's just gotten better as a writer from when he was a young filmmaker. But I mean, I definitely it's one that like it if it like it's on cable when it comes out. It's one of those ones where if I'll stop the channel on it and start
right, oh,
watching it.
I'll watch this, and then
It's
it's like
so
2 hours
fun.
later.
Yeah.
Like,
Also, in our last episode, I reviewed Creed, which you
yeah,
hadn't seen yet.
I
I
haven't.
thought, yeah, I don't know if you remember what I thought on it. I thought it was very good. A little reliant on being a fan of the series is what I thought.
That's fair. I think you can enjoy it going in without being a fan of Rocky, but if you are a fan of Rocky, you definitely get more out of it.
Yeah. So, what was your like besides that? Like what did you think of it in general? 'Cause you get a chance to hear from you.
I loved it. Like
Yeah.
I'm not like a huge Rocky fan, but there's definitely a lot of like being is the fact that I live very near Philadelphia and lived in Philadelphia for many years. There's a, you know, an emotional attachment to that series that maybe doesn't translate across the board everywhere. Especially like in, you know, Rocky One and this film. And even I guess Rocky Balboa too is very much a Philadelphia movie.
Well, yeah, Rocky Balboa was kind of great. Him going back to the old neighborhood, and
Yeah.
he runs into the girl who he walked home in the
Yeah.
first movie, and she's like a bartender or something now. Like, I actually like, I think I've said this before. Like, I really loved Rocky as a kid. I loved all those movies, and I still like all of them. Like, I could watch any of them again. Some of them are very hokey now, but.
Yes.
Like even like the most beloved ones, like you could go back and watch Rocky IV, and there's like so many things in it that are just beyond ridiculous.
It's an absurd 80s
Yeah.
film, but it, I love it. Like,
At the time though, it was the most entertaining one. Like God, like when I was a kid, Rocky IV was the one, you know? But now, like I caught some of it on TV the other day. I'm like, dear God, this is ridiculous. Like it was like this fight between the American and Russian was going to solve all relations between America and
Right.
Russia. It's like, what the
Yeah, like
fuck?
the political ramifications tied to it are
It's
absurd.
just like in the middle of the fight, all of a sudden, all the Russians love Rocky. Like that wouldn't happen. What? Anyways, going back to Creed though, this is definitely more in the vein of Rocky and Rocky Balboa, where it's a real movie. Like it's like a real drama, you know.
Well, it moves away from being that Hollywood action movie to, yeah, being a drama again.
And a real boxing movie,
Yeah.
like the boxing matches feel real in it.
I thought Stallone was fantastic in the
Do you
movie.
I would love to see him win Best Supporting Actor, or at least be up for it. I mean,
Right.
he's got to be up for it, right? I hope.
He was fantastic. Like, just
Yeah.
probably one of his best roles, certainly in the last like 10, 15 years, but
Better than Expendables.
very much so. Like he's very touching throughout this film too, but
Yeah.
I like Michael B. Jordan. Like he really worked.
Yeah, I think he's got a great career ahead of him. This is probably his big breakout role, but I've been following him for a while. I thought he was great in Chronicle. He was on The Wire back in the day.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's good. He's very good in it. Yeah, I don't know.
But at that, like at the end of it, I think, like, I mean, there's a lot going on there with, Creed's son, kind of looking to Rocky as a surrogate father. He calls him Unc throughout the entire
Yeah,
thing,
yeah.
and but the relationship's believable, as well, and the way, it just structures itself, I thought it was really well done across the board. Like it just
How do you?
it mirrors Rocky very closely.
It's very there's like a parallel with Star Wars in this where it's like they are sequels, but they feel like a reimagining of the first one at the same time, but they are still true sequels, you know what I mean?
Right, like like if you go back and watch all the Rocky movies, they tie directly into this film.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of like a, hey, we're starting over.
We're going back to what you loved about the very first one,
Yeah.
kind of.
And I really liked it. It's I came out of that going, yes, this is what I wanted out of this movie. And I'm glad it's doing great.
What'd you think about how they handled? Because I remember this is something I mentioned when I reviewed it. Creed's motivations. Like, did you feel like you had a good understanding of what made him tick?
I mean, yes, to a point. Like
I think it's. I think I did too, but it's like subtle. Like they don't ever spell it out to you until maybe a point near the end when he says something to Rocky.
yeah, where he kind of explains why he's fighting, why he's
Yeah.
always been fighting, and I think it works. Like,
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Like they don't even beat you over the head there with it. It's just kind of a good character moment, like a just a moment between them. It feels real, but it's like, oh, here's your explanation of why he's doing everything he's doing.
right, and it works. It's not hokey. It's not Like, it just,
Yeah.
yes, this is the reason why he should be doing this, and like, because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, he's in this long shadow, and he's
Yeah.
never really had somebody to fight for him. Like, he's never had that protection that his father would have given him, and he's always kind of had to fight back over who he is, so.
Yeah, it's just interesting because it's complex. It's not like he has a bad upbringing or he lives in a crap neighborhood or like he's fighting
Right,
all these
like
demons.
the traditional,
Yeah.
like, okay, like, I mean, you could have totally done something like that and not called this Creed, and it could have been like any other, you know, boxing movie, but you know, I mean, this is Apollo Creed's son, and it's a fucked up dynamic from the beginning. Like,
Yeah.
you meet this kid fighting in like a group home, and he's picked up by his father's
Ex-wife
wife,
or here's wife,
yeah,
yeah.
his widow, but not your mother.
Who
Like,
is the same actress from the
yeah,
original movies, right? Yeah.
but she, like, because it was, you know, because of who, what she loved about her husband, and like, yeah, he might have made mistakes, but this kid didn't deserve, you know, any of that. So she brings him on and raises him to be, he's basically an office worker at the beginning of the movie, like,
Yeah.
but he's always pushing to kind of like get that acceptance from his father that he's never going to get, because,
Yeah, he's never met him.
right,
Yeah, he's
and
never
he
going to,
never
but
will. So
yeah.
it's very touching, I thought. And I thought the title fight, which was a little hokey, like, oh, they're gonna have a fight for the title, like, right off the bat, like,
Yeah.
that's a little absurd, but the way it worked was really good, and the fight was fantastic, like, really well done.
I had heard that there's a fight halfway through the movie that I didn't notice when I watched it, but I guess it's all one shot, like one unbroken shot. Did you notice that when you were watching it?
Not, I mean, maybe it is. Maybe they just did some really good camera work. I didn't notice anything that was
There's
like, hey, this is fantastic, but.
that's one of the things I've seen is people say like the last fight doesn't live up to the fight before, because the fight before it was just like they must have choreographed the hell out of it and they did it all in one take, one no cuts or
What's
anything,
that? That would have been the fight against the other gym owner's kid, I
Yeah, I
think.
think so. Yeah,
And
I
that's a
saw.
good fight.
Yeah.
I don't know, I really liked the final fight as well. Like, I thought it really worked.
Excited to see it again. I'm probably gonna pick it up on Blu-ray when it comes out.
Yeah.
For me, it was a 4. I think maybe I was being a little harsh, but I'm sticking with it. What
Yeah.
about you?
I'm gonna go 5 out of 5 on it. Like,
Yeah.
it on my list, it ended up being number 2, behind Star Wars, so.
It's a great continuation of the series, and it has more depth than I think most of the movies in the series. So I'm interested to see where they go with it because there is going to be another one, I'm sure of it.
I mean, it was like made on $35 million budget, and it's made over $100 million, so
Yeah. You're going to see more Creed.
yeah.
It's been a while since we recorded last, and I've seen a shit ton of movies. I don't know if you have, but anything you want to touch on before we.
The only thing I've
I don't know.
seen outside of Star Wars, Creed, and Hateful Eight was Kung Fury.
I watched that as
That
well.
That's weird.
It was
Like,
cool. I mean, dude, it's what, 25 minutes long or something, like
yeah, it's
half
really
hour.
short. It's at which is nice, because I think
Just
if it was a
perfect
90-minute
length.
film, it would have overstayed its welcome. Like,
It's yeah,
it's just a send up of,
it's Blood Dragon the movie.
yeah, basically, like, it's
Yeah.
just crazy 80s sci-fi action kung fu fantasy nonsense, and it kind of works.
I mean, there's like dinosaurs, robot.
Yeah, there's
I don't.
fucking killer arcade machines. And,
Isn't there Hitler at some point? I mean, it's
yes,
been a while
yep,
since I've seen.
Hitler. Yep,
Yeah.
they can't, because that's actually like he's going back in time to kill
Get the
Hitler,
Bill and Ted thing
and
going on.
he goes back too far, ends up with the
Yeah.
Vikings, and it's nuts. Yeah, it was fun. Like, I mean, if you have a half hour and you have Netflix, go for it.
Yeah. I'll touch on a couple movies real quick because we got our other show coming up. But I've seen a lot of movies since last time, but there's a few that stick out for me. One is a documentary, Amy, about Amy Winehouse.
Okay, I heard that's really good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a lot of it is, footage of, from back when she was a kid to going through her career, like people following around with cameras. They do it like talk to people now and stuff too as well, but a lot of it is actual footage. And I was just struck by, I was never a fan of her at the time, but like, man, she was really good. Like, just a great fucking singer. And just it's a really sad story. So that's a good movie. It's definitely like worth watching, I'd say. Even if you're not a fan of hers, I think it's a good documentary. The other one that stuck out for me is just because of how bad I heard it was Unfriended.
Okay.
Have you seen that yet?
No.
I think that movie gets sold a little bit short, honestly. I enjoyed it.
I wanted to say it. Like, I thought the concept was cool.
I think, all right, like it is, there is some lameness to it. Like the kills in it are kind of lame. But what I really like is it's very smart about how, ever since I've probably known you, we've talked in chat rooms and, we use Skype to record the show. It understands how people hang out online in a way that you don't see in other movies. And it's really interesting as a group of friends video talking on Skype. And it's interesting the way it understands how people talk on the internet because there's the group conversation that's happening between all people video chatting, but then people are having individual IM conversations on the side, like text conversations. And I don't know, I think it uses that to really good effect, where it's like people are just having these conversations on the side that you're seeing all of it, because you're seeing the one girl's computer screen. I have to say, like, it's really not that bad. And I mean, it's not amazing, but I think that the stuff they did with that was really interesting. And it's only like 1 hour and 20 minutes long. So, I mean, if you're a horror fan and you heard bad shit about it, I'd say give it a shot, honestly. Like, it's better than people have said.
All right. I might watch that then.
I feel like there was one more that I'm forgetting that like I want really wanted to talk about. I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me before the next episode.
Right.
More at length.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week. Sure we'll see something. I might go see The Forest.
What the hell is The Forest?
It's an indie horror film that comes out Friday.
Really?
Stars what's her name? Natalie Dormer. She plays Marjorie on Game of Thrones.
Okay.
It's like takes place in Japan in this forest where it's like called the Suicide Forest or whatever. And, she's going to look for her missing sister there. Looks interesting, and it was made some list of like horror films to watch this year, so might give it a go. If I don't see that, I might go see The Revenant, but that's another Western, so
That's like another one of those. I think it's pretty long, isn't it?
it's 2.5 hours long, so
Like my thing with that is I didn't like Birdman whatsoever. I thought that was a terrible movie. Like I can't believe that won Best Picture. I mean, I can believe it, but I hated it.
right.
And so like that director to me, he's got like a lot of work to do to win me back.
Yeah, I mean, what he did, Babel,
He did that was him.
he did Babel.
It's another one that was like his Oscar bait, and to me that one wasn't that great either. But
Think that's the types of movies he makes, right?
I mean, but on paper, Revenant should be like a fucking blast. But I mean, just
Yeah, like the idea behind it is pretty, like, it's this revenge movie,
it's
like,
pretty straightforward. But
starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy, so that's kind of why I'm interested in it, like, especially since I hear there's not a lot of dialogue in the movie. I just kind of want to see the actual performances from these guys, but
I'm sure DiCaprio is amazing in it, but I don't know. Like to me, the guy is overrated, dude. Have you seen Birdman?
I have not.
It's fucking,
Everything I've heard about it, like, makes me think I would hate it.
it's terrible. I mean, honestly, dude, it's like a fucking 1 or 2 star movie for me. Like, it's some interesting. Like a lot of it is like technically, I think a lot of it feels like it's done in one shot, like the whole movie almost. But I'm sure there's trickery there. But I don't know. It's just it's a piece of shit. It has nothing to do with anything. But I did remember the one thing I wanted to touch on though before we go, and that is it's not a movie. It's a TV show that's on Netflix called Making a Murderer, which everyone is talking about now. I just randomly started watching it on like Christmas Eve, and I pretty much burned through it in one sitting. Holy shit, is that amazing television, dude? Like that is like the best show I saw last year. So another reason, yeah, another reason to own Netflix, and if you or whatever have a Netflix account subscription, fucking watch it right away. If it hasn't been spoiled for you already, goddamn, it's a 10-part documentary series about a guy who he was charged with rape. He spent 18 years in prison, proven innocent. He was released. And he started to sue this county in Wisconsin that had him, put in jail in the first place. He's suing them for $36 million, and as that lawsuit's about to get started, a body shows up in his yard. So, yeah, I don't know. Watch that fucking show. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
I am gonna watch it. I've read some other stuff
You
about
probably
it.
got it spoiled at this point because people are real fucking cavalier with spoilers on that one.
Well, yeah, and like then, and there's been a bunch of articles about like what's not in the documentary
Yeah, I read
as
those.
well. So, but yeah, I want to watch it. That sounds very fascinating and.
It's like watching a great hour-long drama. It has cliffhangers and everything. Like it's like a great TV show, but it's a true story. And I mean, if you don't, I have a feeling you might know where it goes. But like, if you don't know where it goes, I avoided all because, like I said, I was like before the hype train on this. Like I just started watching
Right.
it. And so I made sure not to ever look up anything about it because it's a real life case. So you could look up anything about it, right? So I just stayed with it for the 10 hours and I was blown away. It's fucking amazing. So that's that. And I guess I think by next week I'll have seen Sicario, which I've already watched half of, and Mississippi Grind.
Okay.
So
I might try and watch Sicario then. We can talk about that.
yeah, I have to say I did not like what I saw so far. So anyways,
Okay.
but I was hammered and I turned it off because I couldn't pay attention. So
Right. So we'll be back next week, talk more movies, and at some point we're going to schedule that Star Wars spoiler cast.
movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes!
Do 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 do.